the question of what it means to be human in the face of death. I am thinking of Voltaire's Candide of 1759, which responded to the thousands of corpses on All Saints' Day, November 1, 1755, in the city of Lisbon, that would fracture and shatter any optimistic conception of there somehow being a providence that could serve as a basis for explaining those corpses. Voltaire wrote of the second earthquake of December 21, 1755, that would shake the foundations, not just of Lisbon, but of any thin, impoverished, and truncated Enlightenment conception of progress. No, we have to look the terrors of nature in the face. We have to look the horrors of history in the face. We have to look the cruelties of fate and the furies of destiny in the face and still somehow find a way of going through and keeping on. Voltaire was wrestling with death not only as a particular event, but also as a process. He was wrestling with the death of any optimism in his own philosophical project. Professor Cohn, in Black Theology and Black Power, as I shall attempt to show, is wrestling with how death and existential crises relate to his own particular life in terms of what it means to be a particular black man from Bearden, Arkansas, then at Adrian College, Adrian, Michigan, and finally wrestling with the death of Martin Luther King Jr. on April 4, 1968. But before we move to Cohn, let us move to the second moment in modernity just to serve as some kind of historical backdrop and context. And I am thinking of none other than the work Of Human Freedom, 1809, by the great Schelling, which presents his philosophical investigations on the essence of human freedom. This is probably the grandest text of 19th century Europe, one that fundamentally confronts the palpability and reality of evil. This evil shatters any German idealistic system that thinks that somehow all that is needed is to probe into the internal dynamics of consciousness and thereby conclude that the rationality of the world can be shown and displayed. The great Heidegger said in his Freiburg lectures that Schelling had shattered Hegel's logic before it was written. Why? Because of the reality of evil in the ineradicability of the non-rational, the intractability of the unfathomable, and the recalcitrance of reality, maybe even the accursedness of being, as he wrote in that frightening and poetic text. Let us recall those powerful and potent moments in Schelling's text where he said that maybe, in fact, the unruly that sits at the very center of the origins of things, the difference between existence and the ground of existence, is such that a veil of sadness pervades all nature. Deep, unappeasable melancholy is shot through all of life. He was to live 45 more years and not publish another major text. It is a small pamphlet attacking Jacobi, but he also responded to the death of his wife, Caroline. This particular event and process would overwhelm him and push him to the edge of life's abyss. One should consider Black Theology and Black Power in the context of the corpses of young black folk in Newark of 1967, in Detroit of 1967, and the 329 uprisings in 257 cities between 1964 and 1969. We can imagine the young James Hal Cohn saying, "I'm overwhelmed by this. What do I have to say? I either write this book or I'll go crazy." That is the kind of theology I like. Outcry, like Aretha Franklin singing her song. She either sings it or the rocks are going to cry out. We need more intellectual work like this, work that comes from the heart and the soul and mind, the type of intellectual work that the academy does not know what to do with. But I would like to pause one more moment before we move to Professor Cohn's work. And that, of course, is at The Grand Inquisitor, written by the great Dostoevsky in 1879 in the face of the death of his three-year-old son, Alexei. In that section of The Brothers Karamazov is the prose poem that is probably the high moment of wrestling with the reality of evil in European literature. Dostoevsky wrote of the ways elites dangle miracle and mystery and authority in the faces of the masses to pacify them, assuming that they do not have the capacity to actually bear the burden and responsibility of freedom, as terrifying and horrifying as freedom actually is. There is an indescribable moment when the Inquisitor is waiting for an answer from Jesus. Jesus approaches in silence and softly